Thank you, Celia. I think that however good or not you might feel with plants, flowers, growing vegetables, anything like that, whether you think you've got this sussed, you're really good, you've had a wonderful, very well-kept garden, or whether you cringe every time someone gives you a pot plant because you think, I'm going to kill this in probably about 3 weeks. This is not helpful. I think we can all probably agree around the fact that if you have any kind of plant, you cannot make it grow. Some of us feel that distinctly strongly. Others of us just know we can't make it grow. It wasn't that long ago, actually, that I was here and we were looking at Galatians chapter 6. This is actually the last Sunday in this series about growth, paths to growth, it's been called. This is the last one. We're on to Amos next week. Next week, I think. Yep, I think we're straight into it. This is the last one. And just before we started this series, we were looking at Galatians chapter 6, thinking about sowing to the Spirit. And if you were here, you probably won't remember that I talked quite a lot about growing vegetables and the vegetable patch that I was beginning in our back garden. And a distinct recognition in seeking to grow vegetables now that you can't make it grow. That all you can do is seek to provide the right environment. You can seek to make sure that it's good soil, you can water, you can do the things you can do, you can try and keep away the things that are going to eat it, including small children. And in some ways, we need to remember that for this whole series that we've been doing, that we can't make things grow, we provide the right environment. And that's particularly true for what we're thinking about this evening, helping each other grow. We can't make other people grow, but what we can seek to do for one another is to provide the right environment that will help each other grow. And we're going to look at a few things this evening about how we might do that for one another, how we might provide the right sort of environment to help each other grow. I'm going to refer to a fair number of different passages this evening, but I'm going to try and keep coming back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that Celia read right at the start of the service. So you'll probably find it helpful if you've got your Bible open this evening. And you might, if you don't want to flick through lots of pages, then just hang around at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you're feeling nimble, fingered, then follow your way through with some of the other ones we'll be looking at. Helping each other to grow. A way that we can help each other to grow is through our times together. We had as our sort of motto verse for the year a couple of years ago a verse from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It says this: "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." It says that we should be encouraging one another, spurring one another on, and we should be meeting together to do that. That one of the ways that we can help each other grow, help build each other up, is to meet together, to encourage one another. The reading that we had from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read from verse 16, but if you read verse 15, it says this: "Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else." It goes on to say, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And goes on actually to say a whole bunch of other things that we can do. Having just said, strive to do what is good for each other. And actually, so I'm told, all the verbs, all the things that we're to be doing in the rest of that passage are all in the plural. They're all about things that we get together and do. That as you seek to do good for each other, what we should be doing is getting together and doing all these things, rejoicing, praying, giving thanks. That actually, as we come together and we do these things, we're encouraged. That as we come together and we rejoice, we give thanks for who God is, we praise him, we encourage one another. As we gather together and we give thanks, even in what might be really difficult circumstances, we encourage each other. That actually we recognize that whatever we're going through, we're all in a place where we can give thanks to God for something of what he has done in our lives. That we can all be encouraged by knowing God at work in one another's lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I actually want to read verse 26, the next verse on, after where Celia finished, which is page 1155 if you want to find it. It says, "What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up." This real sense that as this church was coming together, everyone was coming with something to bring. Everyone was gathering together with something that they were wanting to offer to the wider body. And they were to come and they were to offer it so that everyone might be built up, so that one another might grow. Now, this may well be a church that was a different setting, might be smaller, may well be a more informal setting than a service like this. And yes, there, if you read through any of the verses around this, you'll pick up that there were some issues with what was going on in this particular church at this particular time when they were meeting together. But in whatever setting, something of the principle of this still applies to us. That as we come together, as we meet like this, we don't all get together, and apart from those of us who are up the front, everybody else comes with the idea of, right, I've just come to receive. Sometimes there's a worrying attitude about church today, that we can get together and people can come with the attitude of, what can I get out of it? And it comes straight from the culture that we live in, because the reality is we live in a culture that says about just about everything, what can I get out of it? And we drag that into all sorts of things and gives us problems at time. Imagine entering marriage with the idea of what can I get out of it? As we come into church, and if we come in with the idea of what can I get out of it, we start with a big problem, because fundamentally we come together not for what we can get out of it, but what God can get out of it. We come to worship him. It shouldn't be about how I feel at the end of it, but how I hope God might feel with the fact that I've come to worship him and submit my life to him. But it should be, in fact, not just about what I can get out of it, but in fact, what can I offer? What can I offer to God in worship? What actually can I bring and I offer that will help this church, which is the people here, to grow? What can I bring, can I offer, that will help one another to grow, that will build up the people who are around me? And what are some of the things that they talk about coming together here? Each of you has a hymn, coming with a song, coming with a hymn, something already in mind. Actually, you come with a sense of worship already in your heart. Actually coming with a sense of being ready to worship God, already with that sense of worship in your mind. It's part of the reason that we have a song before the service, which sometimes, particularly in the evening, ends up when the service is basically started, but we won't argue about timing. But the aim is that actually as we begin our service, we've already got a sense that we're here to worship and to praise God together. And sometimes there's the right moments in as we worship together, that there is that moment that actually someone here might just lead us in a song spontaneously. It doesn't have to be all be led by people up the front. But at times, it's right and appropriate that someone might lead us in a song. Or a word of instruction, he goes on to say. That actually people, as we come together, can bring a word from God's word. That actually we come together knowing something of what's in God's word, ready that we might share with one another. Or a revelation from God. That God may have revealed something to us by his Holy Spirit. It might be a word of knowledge. It might be something that just encourages and builds up the church today. Or a tongue, and Paul's very quick to say, a tongue and an interpretation. Excuse me, that someone may speak in tongues, and then there would be interpretation following that, that the church might be built up. And perhaps we feel that's hard, perhaps we don't feel that's something that we can do easily, that we don't quite feel up to it. And I think it's quite good that we've got this, for a whole number of reasons, that this message is at the end of this series, because actually we'll feel more able to do these things as we gather together, the more that actually we practice them personally. The more that we do the things that we've been talking about through this series in our personal day-to-day lives, the more actually as we come together, we'll feel that we have something to offer to one another, the more that we will help each other grow. A really simple and easy example that actually, if we never open our Bible through the week, then when we get here on a Sunday, we're unlikely to feel in a position to open it and share something with someone. Actually, if we read the Bible day by day, and actually maybe if we read it with a mindset not of just, what can I get out of this today? But is there anything that God's saying in here to me that I can share with someone else? That we come with that sense of, actually, God, do you want to use me to share something from here with someone today? That actually then we may bring those things and encourage and build up one another. I want to challenge all of us, me included, to try and do that this week. To read the Bible, even if you don't do normally, read the Bible and read it with a mindset of, actually, God, are you showing me something here, not that isn't just for me, that's to share with someone else? And maybe that's not about it being in the church. Maybe that's someone you're alongside at work, a neighbor, a friend. Or maybe that's something in the life of our church. Maybe it's a small group, a home group that you're with. Maybe it's to come and to share that as part of our worship next week. Read the Bible this week, asking that question. God, what are you asking me to share from your word that will help build others up, that will help someone else to grow? Right at the end of this this chapter, Paul says, verse 39, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. Be eager to prophesy, he says. Let's not limit prophecy to just being something about predicting the future. We too easily think, when we hear the word prophecy, we think, this is about, you know, knowing what the lottery numbers are going to be next week. We should all be eager to know. Anyway, this isn't about that. This is about speaking God's word. This might be a revelation about now. Yes, prophecy can be about the future, but it can be revealing something of the heart of God for the here and now. That might be through sharing a verse from the Bible. It might be just through an apt word, an apt prayer, just at the right time, led by God's Holy Spirit. We should be eager to do these things, to share with one another, that we might help each other to grow. And if you read the wider context around some of these passages, we won't go and read it all now. There are some important things that we bear in mind. Paul's at pains to say that this should be done in an orderly way, that if we're going to contribute together, then actually we shouldn't all start talking over one another, that it should be done one at a time, that God may be speaking to you, but God speaking to you doesn't take away your self-control. If you feel God saying something to you, it doesn't mean you have to say it right there and then, that you've still got self-control and can decide the appropriate time and place to share that. And if we come back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read, it talks about prophecy there, verse 20. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. That when someone brings something, they say, I think God's saying this. That we shouldn't just reject it out of hand. That we should consider it carefully. And to recognize that God may well be saying something. But to think about it carefully. And if it's not, to reject it. That we should consider these things carefully. That just because someone stands up the front and says something, just because someone says something in a prayer, doesn't mean it's instantly from the Lord. Equally, just because it might be the same person who said all sorts of things before, doesn't mean that you can just shut up and stop listening. Because you know what? God might just be using them today. We need to build one another up. And the nice thing about this, that I think about this, is it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how much you've read your Bible. Yes, the more you do it, the more it will help, the more you'll know, the more you'll feel able to turn to something that's going to help you, that's going to help others. But actually, do you know what? If it's the first time you've opened your Bible and you want to share and encourage us all by reading John 3:16, then actually, do you know what? Sometimes we all need to hear that again. And hearing it from someone who's just discovered it is all the more encouraging for the rest of us. Because if you just discovered it, it gives us so much hope that people are still discovering that today. That actually, if you've never prayed in public before and you feel you can get one line out, then actually the rest of us will all be encouraged by that. Because it reminds us that people are still learning to pray today. And you know what? Actually, you might pray a bit differently from the rest of us. And sometimes that's quite nice. That actually it doesn't matter at what point you feel you are. We can encourage one another as we share whatever we feel able to bring with one another. We can help each other grow through our times together, through how we share in those times together. We can help each other grow through bearing one another's burdens. The passage in Galatians chapter 6 that I spoke on a little while ago is all about this, all about how we can bear one another's burdens. I'll just read those first few verses again. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Sometimes we can help each other to grow by helping remove some of the things that get in the way. Sometimes it's about removing sin, helping each other see sin and to deal with it in each other's lives that actually helps us to grow. I've been establishing a vegetable patch in our back garden, and one of the worst bits of it has been that I think there must be a strip that runs down the length of our garden that's about a metre wide that's just absolutely full of stones, of gravel, of half bricks, of roof tile, of bits of glass. It's just completely compact of all this stuff. And I was merrily going along, working across this patch, digging it over, and get to this bit where trying to dig it over with a fork and just trying to get it into the ground, just trying to get it into the ground, it just goes, dun. It's that kind of, I had to use the edge, one prong of the fork to prise out bits of brick and stone just to get something to move so that you could pull it all out. I've got this huge pile of rocks and everything else now at the back of the garden that have come out from this small section of this patch. It took about five times as long to deal with that as it did the rest of it. Anyway, that's the important thing is that if I hadn't done that, nothing was going to grow there. I could have done all I wanted above the ground, but if I hadn't got rid of all that stuff underneath, nothing was going to grow. And sometimes we've got to get those things out of our lives that actually then we might grow. But sometimes we've got to do that work below the surface, and we've got to help one another to do that. And sometimes that's hard. It's what it means to bear one another's burdens. It's difficult. And we'd rather just dig somewhere else where it's a lot easier. But if we're going to help one another grow, sometimes we have to tackle those difficult bits. And this passage gives us some helpful advice. If you want to hear more, go back and listen to when I spoke on it before. I'll avoid doing the same sermon again. But it talks about doing it gently, that we don't come with an attitude of legalism, but we come led by the Spirit. You who are spiritual should restore that person gently. That we come not with a sense of superiority, that I've got this sorted and you must get it sorted out. That actually we recognise we all fall prey to sin, that we need to watch ourselves so that we too won't be tempted. That we come and we speak the truth together in love. Our verse for this year, our motto verse for this year is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. That's in fact why we've been doing this series, because part of what we wanted to do this year was to help one another to grow, that we might become more fully the mature body of Christ. And at times to do that, we need to speak the truth to one another in love and help deal with some of the difficult issues in our lives. We can help each other grow through our times together, through bearing one another's burdens. We can also help one another grow through our own example. Verse 25 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. A very simple verse. Paul says this: brothers and sisters, pray for us. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. And in that little verse, that little bit of example, I think Paul says so much to us, gives such a good example to us and to the people he was writing to. It tells them about the importance of prayer. His closing remark to them is, please pray for us. We need your prayers. It shows Paul's humility, that he's not got it all sorted, that he's not doing this in his own strength, in his own power, but he needs them to be praying for him because he can't do it on his own. That this is about partnership with other people. This isn't just about him writing them a letter and telling them what to do, but this is about their partnership, working together. He's writing to them, seeking to give them instruction, and it's a reciprocal thing. He's wanting them to pray for him and for what he's doing. They're in this together. Just in that one few words, there's such an example set by Paul. It's why Paul can write elsewhere that people should follow his example. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. The good news this evening, ladies and gentlemen, is that we can all be models. We can all be models. As we follow the example of people like Paul, we're told to keep your eyes on those who live as Paul did. I struggled with this for a while because too often I thought about this simply being about what we just talked about having no sin in your life, about somehow Paul seeming to say that he was perfect, that he had it sorted, that he never did anything wrong, so follow his example in what he's doing, and this sort of being a moral thing. And thinking, how on earth can anyone really feel they can say that? But I now understand it differently. Paul here is talking about his life that's been built upon the truth of Jesus Christ. A life built upon the understanding of his death and his resurrection and that Christ is coming again. He goes on just a few verses later, verse 20, to be talking about this. Our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. That he grasped what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. That he was striving towards this citizenship in heaven. And that as we grasp that, as we grasp the truth of Jesus, his death, his resurrection, his coming again, there's a way of life that follows. There's a way of life that seeks to know more of Jesus Christ. There's a way of life that seeks to practice the things that we've been talking about again over the last few weeks, that seeks to practice those things that we might grow, that we might become more fully disciples of Jesus Christ, more in the image of Jesus. So with the people that do practice the things that we've been talking about, we meditate on God's word, we fast, we seek to serve, we confess our sins, we wait on God, we pray, we worship, that actually we engage in these things. And as we do those, we are models, we're examples to those around us. That it catches on, the lifestyle that we choose to lead, the way that we engage or fail to engage with what God has for us and seek to grow. we can help others simply through being an example. I don't remember much of my time in the church youth group growing up. I can't remember many of the sessions that our youth leaders did, which being a youth leader is sometimes quite depressing. But one of the few things that I do remember that's stuck with me was at some point, I can't remember how it came out, and I think it was just in a sort of a, in part of the conversation, part of the talking about what we've been doing. I was talking to my youth leader at the time, a guy called Justin, and he was talking about how we got on, for some reason, to talking about how through that week he'd been fasting TV, that he hadn't watched television for that week, and it was a deliberate choice that he had made. And he wasn't bragging about it. He wasn't, you know, using it as an illustration to, you know, make himself sound wonderful. It had just somehow come up as part of what he was doing in his life, as part of his discipleship. And as a young person, that stuck with me. It was an example that has really stuck with me to make me think, actually, how can I do things like that? If I'm serious about knowing more of who Jesus is, if I'm serious about my discipleship and my desire to follow Jesus Christ, how can I do things like that? To actually say, I'm willing to give stuff up to know more of Jesus Christ. It was just in passing his example, and it's one of the few things that stuck with me. We can help each other grow through the example of how we live our lives, the example of how we ourselves seek to grow to be more like Christ. We can help each other grow through partnership with one another. Again, I'll come back to what Paul says just in this one verse. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. He wanted their prayer, that they were in this together. There was a real sense of partnership here. That actually sometimes we can really help one another grow over the long term when actually we're willing to stick together to help, encourage and support one another in sometimes just the small personal relationships with each other. And it's through those things we can have that real encouragement and growth. And I'm not just talking about how we support one another when there's a time of crisis, when there's a particular burden that someone's got, or in what we were just talking about dealing with sin. Actually, I think what I'm talking about more is actually when things are going okay. That actually, when things are all right, if we can in those times help one another grow, then actually we might develop the roots, the foundations, the strong structure, that when the storms come, we're able to stand firm. That actually we can build one another up so that when things do get difficult, we can withstand whatever it is that may come. There's lots of examples through the Bible of people who stuck together, of partnership, of people working together. But I wanted to just talk for a few minutes about the example of Ruth and Naomi from the Old Testament. If you want to turn to it, you can find the book of Ruth begins on page 267. For those who don't know the story, Naomi had a husband and had two sons. Her husband died, and she was left with her two sons. And they both married, so it was her two sons and her two daughters-in-law. And then sadly, her two sons both died. And so it was left just Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. And in that time, it was a desperate situation for a household to simply be of women. They had no way of earning money, of making a living. They would have been destitute. And so Naomi says to her daughters-in-law, this is hopeless. I'm not going to have any more children. Even if I did, you wouldn't really want to wait around long enough for them to grow up and to be your husbands. Go back to your families. It's over. And says at the end of verse 13, no, would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." And so one of her daughters-in-law leaves, but Ruth, her other daughter-in-law, says, "I will not go," and gets quite firm about what she's saying to her. "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." And at this point, Naomi realizes that Ruth is not going to leave, and so they journey on together. And through the story, we see how then that begins to just turn things around bit by bit. With Naomi's help and guidance, Ruth goes out, is able to find food, meets Boaz, ends up marrying him, and they have a son who ends up in the line of King David. And it wouldn't have happened, actually, if they hadn't stuck together, that it took Naomi's guidance for Ruth to end up with Boaz. And we read right at the end of the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 4. This is how the situation ends up. Verse 14, "The women said to Naomi, 'Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given birth.' Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, 'Naomi has a son,' and they named him Obed, who was the father of Jesse, the father of David." A story that leaves Naomi at the beginning saying, "The Lord has turned his hand against me. This is terribly bitter for me." So actually Ruth sticking by her through a real sense of partnership turns around to the praise of God. Actually, as we're willing to stick together in partnership with one another, we can help each other grow. And this has got to be about more than just friendship. This isn't just about the sharing of life together, of just a simple friendship. This has to go deeper than that. Friends are great and are often there for you in a time of crisis and difficulty. But this sense of partnership has to be a sharing not just of life but of faith, and a real desire to encourage and to help one another deepen our walk with Christ together. It has to go beyond just friendship. We can help each other grow through our times together, through bearing one another's burdens, through our example, through partnership, and finally through God's help. Coming back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." If we're thinking about helping other people grow, the fact is, where we began, we can't make something grow. We can't make things grow. Actually, what we can seek to do is to provide the right conditions. And actually, as we finish this series about paths to growth, the same is true for ourselves. We can't make ourselves grow. Actually, it's God who brings the growth. We can provide the right conditions. We can provide the right conditions that we will grow, and it's God who will bring the growth. It's God who will be at work in us. And the good news is here, the promise of God that he will sanctify us through and through. Paul finds a number of ways here, just to talk about this completeness of God's work in our life, sanctified through and through, whole spirit, soul, and body. That God actually is at work in the whole of us. Doesn't miss bits, leave bits out. That actually, as we allow him to, he's at work in the whole of us, and he is the one who will bring us to completion in him. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. We don't do it in our own strength, but we come and trust in the one who is faithful and will do it. I might have told this story again, this story before, but I'll say it again anyway. A little while ago, some time ago, I was on a course, and part of what they were trying to do was to encourage us in how we grew, how we did exactly some of this, what our kind of paths to growth were. And they encouraged us to have to take a quiet day as part of it. I think it was an easy day for them. They didn't have to teach us anything. They just said, go and be quiet. And so I entered this day with a real sense of, you know, of wanting to grow through this, of wanting to seek God out to, for it to be a really good day. And so I entered it with much enthusiasm and striving, really. And it was only about an hour in or something where, after having sought to pray fervently, with enthusiasm and passion for some time, as though suddenly God hit me and just said, do you think you've got to try that hard? And it suddenly awoke in me that the whole point was actually that I would stop doing some of those things, that I would make the right conditions that I might grow, which wasn't about me forcing it in my own strength, but actually was about allowing God to be at work in me. And that in some ways, if we enter all these things that we've been talking about over the last however many weeks it's been, and we think that we can do them and make ourselves grow, that it's our own work that does it, then we're missing the point that actually what we're seeking is God to be at work in us. That we're seeking to make the right environment, the right conditions, to allow him to be at work in us. That he would be sanctifying us through and through. Because the one who is faithful will do it. So let's give him the space and the right conditions that we might grow, and that we might help those around us to grow as well. Our verse for this year is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ.